take the edge off, you know what I'm saying?
All my sexy ladies, throw your hands up high. And all my real players, throw your hands up high. Now just keep on bouncing while I take you on a ride, ride. It's like your body's on radio, I'm feeling you in stereo. Put me in your CD player, I'm gonna hit it nice and slow. Baby, I'm your hot mix, pumping in your cherry legs. Checking out your widescreen while your hands up on the headrest.
Yeah, what's going on, everybody out there in Radio Land? This is your host, Tariq Elite, and welcome to another episode of the Mac Lessons Radio Show. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Going to chop up some real good game tonight. And today's show is brought to you by MacLessons.com. That's where you can get all your macking needs. And UnitedPlayersOfAmerica.com. That's where you can chop up game with other players such as yourself. And everybody, please don't forget to go to the all-new MacLessonsRadio.com and subscribe to the show with iTunes, where the show can get downloaded to your iPod. You can go to the gym, you can go to the supermarket, you can ride on a plane and just soak up game all day. Because the show is hosted, it was hosted on one website called the My Podcast site, and that site is going down. I'm going to take that site down shortly. So I encourage everybody to go to MacLessonsRadio.com and resubscribe to the show where you can get the game automatically. And I'm glad to have everybody tuning in, like I said. Now, I know a lot of people have been asking for autographed copies of the Art of Macking 10-Year Anniversary Edition. As of now, there are no autographed copies of it. I haven't autographed any of those books yet, because when I put out the Art of Gold Digging at the end of last year, I had autographed copies available on the Art of Gold Digging website, and a whole bunch of folks bought it, and it took me damn near a month to autograph all those books and send them out to everybody, and I didn't want to go through that headache again. But a lot of people are asking about the Art of Macking 10-Year Anniversary Edition. They want an autographed copy of it. What I'm going to do, I have 50 copies that I'm going to autograph and personalize, and they're going to be for sale exclusively at theartofmackin.com. Only 50 copies. That's it. And I have them right here. Order them. They'll be there to you in a couple of days. These are going to be collector's editions, because I don't know when I'm going to autograph any more copies of the book and mail them out. So these copies are going to be collector's items. Only 50 copies are going to be available. So be the first person, one of the first few people to have an actual autographed copy of the 10-year anniversary edition of The Art of Macking. Go to theartofmacking.com right now, or you can go to maclessons.com to get that right now. Now, we're going to chop up some great game today. I want to talk about the recession right now. I want to chop up game about the recession and how to keep your game tight during the recession. And that's what today's show is going to be about. Macking through the recession. Keeping your game tight during a recession. I'm going to also give some tips on what type of jobs to look for during the recession, because I know a lot of people are having hard economic times. But there are ways around that. There are ways to move and shake and tailor your game around that. Now, before I get into that, a lot of people have been emailing me about Steve Harvey doing the media blitz right now. A lot of people, especially today, I got a dozen emails by people saying that Steve Harvey was on Oprah, Steve is doing this, and a lot of people are mad at Steve. They're like, fuck Steve Harvey, we don't like Steve. No, I can't co-sign that. I actually like Steve Harvey. A lot of people are kind of upset. They think that his book, which Steve has a new book out called Think Like a Man, something like that, a lot of people are saying that it's basically the same thing as Player Be Played, a book that I wrote about, what, 4 or 5 years ago. A lot of people are saying that Steve's book is basically a copy of my book, Player Be Played. Now, I haven't read Steve's book, and a lot of people acting upset about it. I think a lot of people are also upset. I've been getting a lot of emails from people in Chicago. There's something going on with urban radio in Chicago. There was a radio jock named Tom Joyner. I don't know. I think his show was fired, or his show was canceled in Chicago and is getting replaced with Steve Harvey. So I know a lot of urban jocks are upset with Steve behind that. A lot of people are just all up in arms. So they're on this anti-Steve crusade right now. But I like Steve Harvey. I've been on Steve Harvey's radio show before. He interviewed me when he was on The Beat out here in Los Angeles. And Steve was very cool with me. I'm cool with Steve. I think he's a very funny guy. I have no problem with him. The fact that his book was the number one book, the nonfiction book, the number one nonfiction book in the country. I'm very proud of that for any black man to make that achievement. So I'm not going to shit on Steve. Is his book like mine? I don't know. I haven't read his book yet, but I do plan on checking it out. But actually, his book sales are helping Player B Played sell a lot of copies, because I've been looking at some of the stats for Player B Played, and the book sales for that are through the roof right now. Because a lot of people are comparing his book to Player B Played, that's helping the sales of Player B Played out right now. So, okay. But yeah, I have no problem with Steve. Steve is doing his thing. And I, you know, much props to Steve Harvey doing his thing. Any black man doing something positive, that's cool. I saw a clip of him on Oprah the other day, and they had these women talking about how fine they were and how they can't get a man and how they intimidate men. I'm like, okay, yeah, they need to have Steve on there for that, because y'all know how I am. Y'all know how I get when they start talking that bullshit, all that I intimidate a man. Okay. Yeah, yeah, you best to have Steve for that, because you don't want to hear what I have to say as far as that. When women start talking that shit, how about they can't find a good black man and they scare men off and they're just too beautiful? Oh, my God. Oh, I'm going to offend people with the answers I have. So it would be best to have Steve. But I digress. Anyway, man, let's get into some game today. Can we get into some good game today? Now, we're going to talk about recession Mackin. Like I said, man, now, right now, a lot of people, their money is a little janky, some more than others. And when you're trying to get into the dating game and the Mackin game, you want to save money. You don't have a lot of money, and a lot of folks don't have money to trick. You can't even be a trick like you used to be. All you tricks out there. So in these times, you're really going to be forced to step your game up. You have to have your game tight. You can't play the simp role. You can't afford it right now. You can't be making it rain at the club. You can't do that like you used to. So I have a few tips on dates, how to go on dates to save a little money. Now, the dates that I'm going to recommend are all $10 or less. You'll spend $10, or most of these things are free, because you want to save money. Usually the date rule was to spend no more than $20 or $40. But really, let's get it down to 10 or less. Here's some things that you can do on a first date with a young lady you're trying to get to know her, or not just a first date, any date with any woman. You're trying to get to know her, you want to save a little money, you want to do some fly shit, you don't want to come across corny. You don't want to be rollerblading and no corny shit. But number one, and I have 8 of these, by the way. Number one, take a girl to an arcade. Arcades are cool. You know, you can play a little air hockey. You can, you know, shoot the little hoops. Play a couple of video games. Get about $5 in quarters. And you'll be there for an hour or so. That's a cool little date. It's not corny. You can have a good time going to an arcade. All right. Number two, and I've said this many times, you can go to a museum. And I've said this on several occasions. Go to a museum. A lot of museums in your city are free. Museums are nice places. Number three, you can go, and I said this before, to the beach. If you have a beach in your city, perfect spot, no money. Number four, go to a cool little park. Every city has at least one nice park somewhere. You don't have to do the picnic thing. I know some people recommend doing a picnic. That's a little corny. Unless you've been with a woman for a long time. But just going to the park, chopping up game, soaking up the environment, that's a nice little date. No money. Number five, you can take a chick to a pool hall. A nice game of pool. Pool don't cost that much money to play. Nice little date. Chop up game with the woman in a cool setting. Another spot, number six, is Baskin and Robbins ice cream. Or Cold Stone's ice cream. Nothing beats an ice cream parlor. Now, I would have said like Starbucks or places like that. But no, Starbucks, that coffee is getting expensive as hell right now at Starbucks. You get a vanilla latte, that shit end up to be $12. So you want to go under 10. The Starbucks is getting ridiculous with their coffee. So Baskin and Robbins, get you a nice little ice cream cone. Sit down and chop up game with the female. All right, number seven, a sports bar. Go to a nice little sports bar, watch a game, get a couple of beers. Not too expensive. It's not like a bar. Like if you go to a regular bar, they try to upsell the drinks. But if you go to a sports bar, you know, they keep the price at a minimum. You can just chop up game with the chick, watch a game, vibe with her, drink you a Michelob, Bud Light, whatever. I'm not a drinker, so I don't know what drinks are popular out there, but get your drink on at a sports bar. And number eight, you can go to a free concert or a free play at the local university. Most universities have very good stage shows. They have very good concerts. You can look in your local alternative newspaper and find out what events are going on at different campus universities around your city. There's always something fly going on that's really no money. And like I said, all eight of these dates will cost you less than $10. Now, I know a lot of people have been asking me about advice on getting jobs. I've gotten a lot of emails from you guys, and I said I'm going to address this on one of the shows, and I'm going to address it now. They want to know what they can do about, you know, stacking their money back up or getting a better job. A lot of people have been laid off. And a lot of times, man, when you get laid off and you're going through financial difficulty, man, it has your mind spinning. Whatever you do, man, you want to keep a clear head and you don't want to start thinking scandalous. You don't want to just switch off into some primitive survivor mode and just try to do whatever it takes to survive. You don't want to lose your head. So you want to be focused, number one, and realize that there are jobs out there that you can go for. That's why it's very wise, even before hard economic times pop off, get your own little entrepreneur thing on. Get your own little business cracking. Just in case the jobs fall through, you still have a little something to fall back on. But that's neither here or there right now. You want to get some tips on what kind of jobs that's available right now. Now, right now, during a recession, especially this time, a good job to get into is internet work. A lot of people are still working online, especially a lot of entrepreneurs. A lot of people are doing a lot of internet work. So you can become an internet software designer, a researcher. There's a lot of internet jobs that you can get into. So a lot of you cats, instead of sitting up posting bullshit on message boards all the time, use that time wisely to stack some money up. Now, number two of the top 10 jobs to get in recessions, I have 10 of these. Job number two are government jobs. Any type of government job is pretty stable right now because the government, they're still getting their money. I have a cousin. He's like an engineer for like a military comp, something. What, I don't know what he does. I know it has something to do with government and engineering. I don't know the specific, but I know this nigga is always traveling and always going in and out of the country and always got his money right. He called me the other day like, man, what kind of Escalade you got? I said, I got this, that. Yeah, I'm about to buy an Escalade. I'm like, damn, dude, what's up with your money? Your money good? Like, yeah, I got a government job, so I'm straight. So government jobs are good. That's why Washington, D.C., the people in D.C., they said that economy is booming in Washington, D.C. because all those government jobs out there. It's almost recession proof. And there are a few other cities that's quote unquote recession proof. They're not feeling the recession as hard as everybody else, but government jobs are always good, like postal workers, working at the DMV, any type of government job. Now, number three, the third type of job that's good to go for during a recession is a financial advisor. The financial advising business is booming during hard economic times. People need advice on what to do with what little money they have. People are looking for financial answers. All these television networks and radio experts, they're hollering at all these financial analysts trying to get answers to the public. So being a financial analyst or financial advisor is a very good occupation during a recession. Now, number four, the medical profession, nursing, physician's aid, dental aid. I mean, no matter how bad the economy is, people still get sick. People still have back pains. People have headaches. People have asthma. People are going to get sick no matter what, and they're going to need health care. So that's a pretty stable profession. So get your doctor on, get your nurse on. All that good shit. Okay, number five, the utilities industry, like gas, water, electric. Again, these are basic necessities. Anything that has to do with basic necessities will always be stable. People are always going to need to cook food. People are going to always need to wash their ass. So the water industry is good. Get a job at the power company, at the gas company, the water company. Any kind of job like that is pretty stable. Now, number six is the entertainment industry. Now, during the Great Depression in the 1930s, the movie business took off because people needed some type of escapism. They wanted to get their mind off poverty and struggling to make ends meet. So they scraped up a couple of dollars, went to the movies. So people are doing a lot of movie going, and a lot of people are doing they're buying books now, because books, that's cheap entertainment. So if you're an author like myself or an entertainer, that's a good business to be into. Now, number seven, which this is the only one that I don't like and I don't really recommend, but I'm acknowledging it because it's a stable profession, especially in a recession. And I really don't recommend this to anybody, but a job that's real stable during a hard economic times is law enforcement. When economic times get hard, the crime rate goes up. There's a lot of crime, so there's a need for more police officers. This one I don't like, and I wouldn't recommend that, but I'm just saying because this is what a lot of critics are saying, that this is an occupation that's booming right now. I don't like that because most of those resources, those law enforcement resources, are going to be in the black community, which I don't like, and that equals more brothers going to jail. Also, it equals more snitching. I read a report where snitching has gone up. A lot of people are becoming informants for money. it's at an all-time high right now. People are just telling and tattling like it's nobody's business. And I don't recommend that at all. No matter how broke you get, just telling on people and running to law enforcement, I just despise that idea. I don't give a damn how broke you are. I remember years ago, when I was about 19, 18, 19, I've always had my own little spots, my little apartments out here in LA. And I had one apartment that I really couldn't afford. I couldn't really afford none of them. I was so goddamn broke as a teen, but I had an apartment when I was about 19 in Sherman Oaks. It was real nice. I think I paid rent twice. And I found a way to stay in there for like 6 months. I kind of hustled the system. There's a way to do it. When you're broke, you get very creative. I get creative when I was broke. What you would do is you would get a court date. They can't just evict you. If you don't pay rent, it's going to take a minute before you can get evicted. So what you can do is set a court date for like 2 or 3 months down the line. And while the court date is pending, legally, you can still stay in the apartment. And you can also get like an extension on the court date and stay for a couple of more months. So there was all types of hustles I was doing to stay in these apartments for a long period of time. And they couldn't evict you. So I knew all those little hustles. And as far as utilities, man, I was a genius at keeping the utilities on. They turned my shit off and I would figure out ways to get the power back on. They turned my phone off. I would figure out a way to get that back on. One way I would get my phone on, and I'm not advising this to anybody. I'm just telling you, the point of this is just showing you how creative you can be when you're broke. Now, you can do it in a positive or a negative way. And I wouldn't recommend this. But what I would do to keep my phone on, to get my telephone back on, because you know, this is before everybody had all the cell phones. Back then, this was like the early 90s. Cats had those big ass brick cell phones that looked like suitcases on your shoulder, which cost $1,000 a call. It wasn't none of those free minute plans back then. You had to pay a grip to have a cell phone. So you had to have a regular house phone. So what I would do, you know, because to call the phone company to get your phone on, a lot of times they would have to verify your work and all this stuff. So I would look in the newspaper. I would look in the LA Times and I would find the name of a reporter. Like a semi-unknown reporter who wasn't that well known. And I would get his name and I would call the phone company and say, hey, my name is Mike Smith. I work at the LA Times. Then they'll call up to the LA Times to verify if Mike Smith works there. And they're like, okay, Mr. Smith, we're going to put a phone in your apartment. And I would hustle like that. And also when my electricity would get turned off, I'd go down to the 99-cent store and get a whole bunch of extension cords, plug them bitches up in the hallway and run the cord inside my apartment. And plug the television and lights all up to the extension cords running from outside. Oh, I hustled my ass off. Women would come over. They'd be like, it's dark as hell in here. I'm like, you goddamn right, baby. That's ambiance. What's this cord doing here? No, that's a new style. I'm an environmentalist. I just make up anything. But anyway, I'm living in this apartment. Real nice apartment. I'm broke, but my spot was the kick it spot. I'm like the only teenager in the neighborhood out of all my friends with my own spot. So everybody used to come to my spot. Girls in and out all the time. We would have parties all the time. Everybody would come to my spot. My spot was the spot. And a lot of people in the apartment complex would come up to it. And we had a pool downstairs. We had a jacuzzi in the apartment complex. We had a workout room. It was a very nice complex. And I let people in that I really didn't know, but everybody was cool. It was a respect thing and it was good. Now, one day I got a knock on the door from a federal agent. Like, what the fuck? Okay. guy from the FBI comes to the apartment. I'm like, okay, what's up? They're like, Mr. Nashi, we want to talk to you about something. I'm like, well, damn. Did they find out a nigga was stealing cable and power? I'm like, damn. The jig is up. They found out I don't work for the LA Times. I'm like, I'm thinking, oh, shit. They weren't even thinking about that. They were like, look, Mr. Nasheed, do you know such and such? This person was at your apartment the other night. Obviously, somebody who came to one of the parties I was having. And they were like, well, what do you know about this guy? I'm like, I don't know anything about him, which I really didn't. I would let anybody, if they brought a friend that I knew, I would just let people in. We just kicked it like that. But they were asking about this one particular dude who was evidently some kind of drug dealer, whatever. Some kind of D-boy that they had on surveillance, and they were tracking this guy. And they were asking me stuff about him. He lived in the building somewhere. And I really didn't know anything about him. So they were like, look, we're trying to get some information on this guy. We've been tracking this dude. Now, if you know anything about him, because you live in the same building, you know, please let us know. And we'll, you know, we want you to keep us informed on this guy. And we're going to take care of you financially. And they were offering me money to snitch on this dude. And I'm like 19 years old, broke as a joke. Didn't have two nickels to rub together. And the idea of me telling on anybody for some damn money was just so far out of my stratosphere. I couldn't even fathom that idea. So the police officer, not the police officer, the Fed agent gave me his card. He's like, let me know what's up. Give me a call. We'll work something out. And he left, and I threw that goddamn card in the garbage disposal. The thought of doing some sucker shit like that just never crossed my mind. No matter how much I need money. And it wasn't no code of the streets type of thing. I'm just not built like that. That's just not part of my DNA to do no sucker shit like that. And at the time, I was broke as a joke. No relatives, nothing. But I made ends meet, and I made it do what it do without throwing somebody else under the bus. That's why I say, man, always keep your head no matter how broke you get. You ain't got to throw nobody else under the bus to get yours. Just like with the Steve Harvey thing. A lot of folks are mad at, and they want me to be mad at Steve Harvey. I'm not. No, I want Steve Harvey to succeed. Any black man trying to succeed, I applaud that. I'm not going to throw that brother under the bus. I want to see him win. I want to see any brother win. Anybody win, for that matter. I don't have to see anybody fall off for me to feel better or for me to win. We can all win. So that's why I say, don't let your brokenness fuck with your mind. If you get broke, you make things make ends meet. You become creative. You pool together with other people who are on the same page as you, and you try to win. Now, let me get back to the list, because I just went off in a rant. Now, on the recession job list, number 8, you can get into construction. Construction jobs are very good during a recession, because a lot of people, not just construction, contracting as well, a lot of people want to fix up their houses. They want to fix up their yards because they can't move and buy new spots. So they want to fix up everything. They want to do a lot of home renovations. So if you can paint, if you're good with gardening, and if you're good with roofing and things of that nature, you'll do good in a recession. You should really go into business for yourself. Put out ads and hire yourself out as a contractor, independent contractor. I think you'll get a lot of business right now. Now, number 9 on top 10 jobs to go for during a recession. Number 9, a weed dealer. Be a goddamn weed dealer. Right now, people need to get high, and they need a cheap high. You can't afford to be a crackhead right now. You can't fuck with the hard, hard drugs like people used to. So people need a nice, cheap high. You can't be a meth addict like you used to be. because there's nobody's VCR to steal. You know how crackheads and meth heads steal VCRs and DVD players, and you know, nobody has anything to steal. So all you weed heads out there, put the blunt down and pick up the little bags and start bagging up some of the stuff you're smoking. Anyway, and number 10, this is for the ladies out there. Number 10 of top 10 jobs to get during a recession. Ladies, why don't you try out hoeing? During a recession, it might be time to just be a hoe. You feel what I'm saying? I know a lot of you might be saying, oh my God, that's just immoral and it's so wrong and I don't want to be a hoe. But let's just look at your background for a quick minute. Now, ladies, I want you to grab a pen and a paper, a pen and a piece of paper. And why don't you jot down all the dicks you've had this year? Now, if the number is anything other than one, guess what? You already got hoeing in you. You're just doing it for no money. I mean, times are hard, ladies. It might be time to just take off the low heels and put on your hoe heels. Don't hide behind no moral smokescreen. You're fucking for blunts. You need to be doing it for dollars. Take off the sundress, put on the cat suit. Stop being a false bitch, start being a boss bitch. Stop being a stank hoe, start being a bank hoe. It might be time, ladies. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Mac Lessons Radio Show. I hope everybody enjoyed it. Now, look, guys, I have a pay-per-view special that I'm doing this weekend. The pay-per-view special this weekend is called Culture of Ignorance. All my students, all my college students, all my high school students, I really, 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 really want you guys to listen to this pay-per-view special. This is going to be a very, very, very good pay-per-view special. You go to maclessons.com. The special will be up either tomorrow or Saturday, so you guys can listen to it and chop it up this weekend. But the name of the special is called Culture of Ignorance. We're going to talk about a lot of the dumb shit that's going on in our culture with a lot of young folks and what you can do to counter that, what you can do to get your mind right. Everybody needs to listen to this pay-per-view special, Culture of Ignorance. This weekend, you get it at maclessons.com. Anyway, y'all, glad to have everybody listen to the show. Thank you, guys. I will see you next time. Peace.